I'm Courtney Romano, and this is The Break Breakdown. Kinsley Versus, Episode 1. Interior Apartment in Queens, Day. Sitting at the kitchen table is Kinsley. She stares straight ahead. Edie, Shane, Maxwell, Dusty, Beatrice, and Gordon vie for her attention, talking over each other, creating a plume of unease. This is the description from the first page of the script. The opening moment isn't a scene, it's just a single 11-second shot of Kinsley surrounded by the six supporting characters, the voices, in her head. Film is first and foremost a visual medium. Consider that each shot is the result of a collaboration between the DP, the production designer, and most noticeably in this opening shot, the costume designer. The script for Kinsley Versus is 63 pages long, and not once do I describe what the characters are wearing. I barely suggest what they look like. Enter co-producer and costume designer, Allison Kohler. Welcome to The Break Breakdown, Allie.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here. And I feel like before we get into anything, we have to let people know how well we know each other. So
we've known each other since college. We went to Muhlenberg College together. We were both theater majors, and we both moved to New York after college.
Formative years, those first 3 years that we lived together in New York City. And what's interesting about those years too, and you've mentioned this in talking about what we both majored in, which was theater. I did theater and dance, is that we were both pursuing acting at that time for a little bit. Can you talk about what you studied in college and what you did right out of college, and when did design and style and fashion become your focus?
I don't have a linear traditional path, which is probably useful to talk about on this podcast, talking about on The Break Breakdown, non-traditional, non-linear journeys. I went to school for theater. I moved here with you. We both found job listings on Craigslist and we pounded the pavement to find our jobs. It didn't take me long to realize that the lifestyle of auditioning wasn't for me. I don't have to take everybody through my entire professional journey, but essentially it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do. I was working in a corporate space and was very unfulfilled. And I started writing a fashion blog. Long story short, from there, I started working with private personal clients on their wardrobe, their closets. And I interned for a stylist for a summer. And then I started booking corporate clients from there.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I know this story because I lived it with you in real time. We would talk about all these things. But listening to you lay it out in that way, it really sounds like you found something that you were passionate about. You spent time exploring it. You spent time studying it. And then you made a career for yourself out of it. So even though you're saying it's not a linear path, I actually see that thread. No pun, pulled directly through. And it's really interesting to me because on such a historical level, we know each other. And I know you have a photo of yourself in bed as a kid. Can you talk about that photo? You know what photo I'm talking about?
Yes, I think I'm under five and it's me asleep in my bed with a pair of Mary Janes next to my head. I slept with these shoes. I remember these shoes. So it's always been fashion for me. I think it just took me a really long time to get there.
And I think that's important, thinking about your trajectory, thinking about how it is actually connected very much to these things in childhood that you have. It's this very kind of pure connection to fashion as expression. So it feels obvious to me that you're now at this point in your career, thinking back on that little girl. I just want to underline here too, because I know a lot of our listeners are figuring out what their path is. You and I went to the same school. We both majored in theater and we have wildly different art careers and artistic objectives. And we both started as actors in performance. I remember being in college and thinking, oh, if I'm going for performance and that I'm not performing, aren't I a failure? And now I'm at a point in my life where I see that the world is broader and more expansive and has so much opportunity for you. It's not a failure to be true to yourself and to be expressive in the way that only you can be expressive. And that's what I love so much, Allie, about your facility and skill with clothing and fashion and style and expressiveness. So I want people to get a sense of what you're doing now in your freelance style career. What are the kinds of things you're working on? And if you don't mention Vogue, I will mention Vogue.
You mentioned it, so it's out of the way. I will say this because my career, it can be seen as this like really glamorous thing, right? You hear the word Vogue, you think, okay, stylist. What does that mean? But I just get people dressed. That's literally my job. I do a lot of commercial work and I like lifestyle work. So I like dressing people how they would normally look. I want you to look like you on your best day. So that's the sort of work that I do with my corporate clients in this sort of advertorial space and with my personal clients as well. What I do on a day-to-day basis is I do wardrobe for productions. So advertorial productions, branded productions. If a publishing corporation has an ad deal with a major brand and they are trying to create something together and they need someone to dress the talent in the piece, that is what I do. I also work with a lot of corporate women on making their brand and their personal sense of style cohesive.
You've talked about, I've heard you use the phrase, the psychology of fashion before. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I like to say that my job is so much more psychology than it is fashion or clothing, because how we get dressed and the clothing that we put on our bodies, it's this deeply personal psychological thing. How what we wear and how we present ourselves is the way we introduce ourselves to someone without saying anything.
A couple minutes ago at the opening of this episode, I was reading the description of the opening shot. And as a writer, I imagined one thing for that when I was writing that shot. And then as a costume designer, you came in and you had your point of view of that shot, because what that shot really was is an introduction, like you're talking about, an introduction to Kinsley. Who are these people around her and how are we introducing them to the viewer? So this question that you ask with your clients and in commercial projects and everything is actually like the same question that we're grappling with design-wise at the beginning of Kinsley as well. I'm wondering, what was your jumping off point? How did you begin designing the costumes for Kinsley Versus?
I think I threatened you to hire me. That was the first step.
you threatened me to hire you for screen test. And then I said, I'm never letting you go. So I think I threatened you.
So it's just this ongoing thing.
Yeah.
The process was very collaborative in that I asked you a lot of questions. We talked a lot about what you envisioned. And I would say, well, is it like this? So we're talking about the character of Edie, if I can. Okay, so maybe she's really buttoned up and she's super structured in a way that's completely at odds with Kinsley's, who's sort of all over the place. She's kind of floppy and, right, not physically, sartorially. And you would say, yeah, that's it. Or you would say, I was sort of thinking when I wrote these characters, you were talking about, I'm thinking of Dusty and Gordon, you were saying, I sort of think of them as like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. They kind of play off each other. And so that was very informative for me when I started thinking about those characters and what do they wear.
I remember at the beginning, we had a lot of back and forth conversations and then you would put things into a deck for me to look at. And I'd be like, oh yeah, right. that really feels right. Or, oh, I can understand how I didn't communicate what I thought there, because you're doing exactly what I said, but that's actually not what I mean. Let me clarify. So we kind of used words and images, I'd say, to land on the looks. And I'm wondering if you can talk about how you approached dressing these characters as voices as opposed to real people. It's this interesting thing, right, where they are real people. I think on episode one, Benji and I talk about how it wasn't some high concept CGI thing that we're doing with, oh, what is she seeing? It's real people in a real space existing in real time, but they're just the thoughts in her head anthropomorphized into real people. How did you think about that in costume design? Did you choose certain brands or colors or styles that maybe you wouldn't have if they weren't these slightly heightened versions characters?
We had to figure out a way to take something that it starts out as a real person, right? And then takes up real estate in Kinsley's brain as just a voice that is coming to life as this person. And something that I think originally came from you was the idea that the thought manifestation of the person has to be like 10% more than the person she initially encountered. So for Edie, this person, this woman who walks into her life, how can we make this person stand out more? And so you and I think we went through each character and we figured out something about them that we could bump up in some way. So I think Gordon is probably the easiest example of this. We just see this man sitting at a cafe and we don't notice him because his shirt in the back is black. But the shirt that he's wearing as the character Gordon is this like fabulous sort of sequin psychedelic piece. It wouldn't make sense for her to maybe see that on the street. But this man that becomes the character of her thoughts, of course, he needs this sequence.
So we have two factors going on, which was, how can we make them 10% more fabulous as these thoughts? And how can they live as thoughts? And then also, we're an indie production and we have a limited budget. Yes. And we have seven episodes. Kinsley is wearing different things as time goes on, obviously, because she is real. But the question came up, do we do that with these thoughts or do we not do that with our thoughts? And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about our discussions back and forth about whether these voices should be wearing the same costume throughout or if they should change.
Yeah, I think this was an initial budgetary constraint we were kind of forced into. We have a lot of characters. We have to get them dressed. We don't have a lot of money. How do we do that? We didn't have the resources to buy seven different outfits or more for each character. I would love to have had a huge wardrobe trailer and fittings and on fittings for these characters and these actors, but it was an initial budgetary constraint that I think ended up being in total service of the art, which was these characters are here to stay. I think it's actually this beautiful serendipitous thing.
Agreed.
It was born out of just necessity.
I think we did talk about this. It's like, there's so many characters being introduced that their wardrobe is actually the thing that helps an audience track them through the series. So there were a lot of reasons why it worked out. It just goes to show that sometimes constraints are the thing that make you make better choices, ultimately. We have to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about your experience on set and your take charge attitude, which we love. We stan a take charge attitude. It's basically your Anna Wintour moment, just to bring Vogue all the way back around. Stay with us. This episode of The Break Breakdown is brought to you by Ash V Photography. Since spring is just around the corner, it is time for a photo shoot. Whether it's an updated headshot or a family portrait for next year's holiday cards, a save-the-date engagement shoot, or just some pictures of your pregnant belly, Ash V Photography knows that relaxing in front of the camera is easier said than done. Luckily for the rest of us, Ash's demeanor is infectious. Her photos will capture a version of you that is genuine and unique. That's the commitment Ash makes to all of her clients. Find Ash on Instagram at ashv_photography, or check out her website, ashvphotography.com. That's ashvphotography.com. We are talking to Kinsley versus costume designer Allison Kohler. As referenced just a minute ago, Allie, you have a real way on set. And by real way, I mean the best way on set. And I want people to learn and hear about your approach to that environment.
Oh, goodness. This was a team effort in every single sense. So being the head of a department and also being a co-producer meant just being like hands-on and being around if people needed things. And I think when you are working with budget constraints and a big crew and a small space, everybody needs to be hands on deck and we need to just be goal oriented. So we had to cut the fat. We had to have a major sense of urgency throughout the day. So keeping things moving, I think, was just the priority.
You would come in, you're the head of this department and you're the costume designer, but at the same time, you're a producer coming in and letting everyone know that we've got 5 minutes. This needs to be wrapped in 5. I can say from a director's point of view, that was such a huge help to me to stay focused. And I think sometimes people think that if that urgency is on set, it means that things are going to get tense and maybe angry. But when you brought that kind of temperament and focus to us, I felt the entire apartment, because we were in every single room of my apartment, like shore up and everyone started rowing together.
It's not a bad thing to move quickly and effectively through things. And you really do need sometimes nothing but a shepherd to say, we're going, let's go, everybody in, a coxswain, so to speak, you know, for a rowing team.
Yeah, no, you're from Connecticut. I get it. Also, we're talking about like how many people were on set and you're the head of the department. Can you actually break that down for people a little bit? Who was in your department?
Me. A magical elf named Bridget. She's the ACD. She's the assistant costume designer, but she really did everything. We're a two-person department. We had to figure out a way to make it work, and I relied so heavily on her. She tracked changes. She took photos for continuity. She was steaming things, prepping things, washing things at the end of the night. She was so much more than her title suggests. Having her allowed me to think creatively about the piece because she was thinking logically about it. She could be my logical arm while I was thinking big picture with you and Benji and Sarah and kind of thinking about, okay, how are we going to make this work?
Right.
So for me, this was a non-negotiable, having her.
You know, I think in my mind originally when I started, like before Kinsley, I was like, people can wear their own thing. They can do their own hair and makeup. And you were very clear, no, they cannot. And indie film, as you just said, is pretty scrappy. So why did we not cut those corners?
You cannot put a price on experts. Hiring someone who is an expert in their field. We cannot make a show without a DP. Why would we try and make a show without hair and makeup? These are challenges that arise that you do not think they're going to arise, and then they do, and you're like, oh, we didn't think about that. So by having our incredibly talented hair and makeup crews headed by Marie and Vanessa, we could come to them and say, this is what we want to do with this character, right? We could say, this is who Shane is, right? What do you want to do? And they would say, oh, I think this, that. For Shane specifically, if we're talking about that character, his style is loosely based on Buddy Holly. It was this kind of, almost this kind of comb-over-y sort of style. And Vanessa was great. She was able to bring that to life. We're not asking the actor to create something like that. First of all, think of it and then execute it on his own every single day in a way that's consistent throughout the entire filming. These things that we think, yeah, we can just do ourselves. No, they're invaluable. These people are artists. And that's it.
Maria was on Screen Test as well. When I saw what she did for that, I thought, yeah, of course. She is an artist. They are artists. And it's a visual medium, man. So it's important. It's important to the storytelling. Maria, Vanessa, Min, all of these people on this team are experts, are professionals, and I want to be in their hands.
Also, just to hop back on what we were saying before, it makes everyone else's job harder when you then have to think about something else. So if you have a cast member without makeup properly done, now we have to think about lighting things differently. Then you as the director get pulled away because you're thinking, okay, maybe do I have powder? This isn't about anyone's appearance. This is about actually being able to create something that looks correct.
I just want to address the fact that we're talking about how indie film is scrappy, but we're also bringing in these experts who you don't want to cut corners on. So can you talk a little bit, Allie, about how we approach them with this smaller budget?
Totally. I think it speaks, first of all, to the project and you as a writer, director, creator, Courtney. A lot of people just wanted to work on this, right? And we did pay everybody, but people were passionate about this project. And that's exactly the way you approach it. You say, look, I'm creating something. I don't have a budget, but I wanted to reach out to you because I respect your work and I wanted to see if this is something that you're even interested in. If you are interested in it, here's the reality of my budget. Is that at all workable for you? And we did that. We approached every artist on this project with the respect that they deserve. We were not asking for favors. I guess it is asking for a favor when we have budgetary constraints, but we weren't expecting anybody to work for free. And we wanted everyone to understand that their work and their input was important to us. This was a true collaboration where you would say, this is what I'm thinking. How does that jive with what you want to do creatively? Which was really just like a beautiful thing to see come to life.
I think you're right that when you have that collaborative effort, there's a lot more trust there. I'm just remembering this as we're talking. We shot 7 days total, 3 in the fall, 4 in the winter. And once or twice, someone on the hair and makeup team had another gig that was going to pay more, that was going to be better for them. And we were never upset about that. We were like, yes, please go make some more money. Like, we want you to make that money. And so if Maria or Vanessa say, hey, so-and-so is taking over for me today, we're like, great, they're probably fantastic. And now I know even more people that we can hire in the future when we have more money to do so as well.
That's exactly right.
Allie, this has been really great. And I want to thank you, Allison Kohler, for coming on to the Break Breakdown today. And thank you to our growing audience. If you liked today's conversation, please share it with your friends and join us next week, which will actually be the first of 2 episodes where we break down being on set, otherwise known as my living room. Don't go anywhere just yet. We've got one more thing for you. This season, we're talking about how we made a digital series. But regardless of the medium, if you're making something, you're in a process. And since there are so many different approaches to process, we decided to ask other artists about theirs. This is the final word.
I'm Eddie Lee. I'm an actor, singer, dancer, and voice actor. In trying to think of a project where I was stuck and needed to get unstuck, what comes to mind is I was recently hired for an audiobook, my first audiobook, where I was narrating and doing the characters, reading cover to cover all on my own. And it was really exciting, but also really scary. When I received the show Bible and the characters were like in the 40 plus range, I was just thinking, how am I going to make my voice sound so different for all of these characters? Boys, girls, teachers, you name it. When I was approaching this, anytime I would see a character, I'd mark down the page, get a voice memo going. But once I hit into the 6-10 range where I had already started to use a lot of the voices that I typically go to, I was kind of hitting a block. How am I going to make this character sound different from this other one that I already decided that has like a low voice, that has some texture? I finally slowed down, and a little later on, it dawned on me that characters might sound the same, but instead of thinking about how they sounded, I shifted my perspective into how do the characters feel and how are they different? In reading all of these characters, I was seeing different things pop out where this guy's a little more rambunctious. This guy is a little bit more aggressive. This one is soft-spoken. This one's shy. So I started to hone in on those aspects and let those inform my intention or the point of view and where the character is coming from. And thus, my voices started to have different nuance. So they might be in the same pitch or in the same texture, but they would come from a different place. We'll be right back.
Today's episode of The Break Breakdown was hosted by me, Courtney Romano. It was executive produced by Benjamin Shaw, with audio and music supervision from Match Zimmerman. It was produced by Sarah States and created by me, Courtney Romano. Season 3 of The Break Breakdown is made possible through the generous support of Eddie and Wendy Shaw, with special thanks to Craig and Elle Hansen. And don't forget, you can watch the full series of Kinsley Versus now on YouTube. Just go to the show notes for the link. The Break Breakdown is a project of Queensbird Films.